Now turn with me tonight as we read together in Luke's Gospel. We're turning to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 25. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law, how readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. We know God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Last time we looked at our little series in Luke's Gospel, we were looking at some verses in Luke 10. And I asked you a very important question, a question I ask my own heart, because this is a very serious matter. As you and I view life itself, and as we are reminded of death and its certainty, and then as we face this great matter of eternity, for us as individuals, is it to be Jesus or judgment? For at the beginning of Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ sends out his disciples for the work of evangelism, and he sent out 70. We noted the principles for evangelism. There's no doubt in the world in which we live that evangelizing the lost has become increasingly more difficult, but we must continue to share the message of the gospel because it's the only hope for men and women who are living in their sin. I fear sometimes that many of God's people have no real heart for evangelism. Perhaps many of us, or some of us, have lost our concern for souls. Perhaps some of us have found it very difficult to share our faith. And perhaps we need to address again the whole matter of evangelism and how we reach the lost. When the Lord Jesus Christ sent out the 70, we noted 4 important things. They were divinely appointed. They were directed to go out. They were duly reminded of the task that they faced, and they were definitely warned about the difficulties they would face. The Lord Jesus underlined these important principles. And although reaching the lost is never easy, if we don't seek to reach them, then we do not fulfill the great commission that he has given to us. But we noted also the pronouncement of Jesus, for as he visualized 2 kinds of response to the going forth of the gospel, he knew there would be a positive response by some, and there would be a negative response by others. And Jesus said that where there was a negative response, then they were to leave that city, leave the people, because their response and their choice would ultimately bring the judgment of God to bear upon them. Friends, that's the only choice you and I have tonight, either Jesus or judgment. If we don't believe the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we can cut ourselves off from the love of God forever. If we refuse God's offer of mercy in Christ, then you'll bring God's judgment to bear on your life. That's something that's worth considering. Tonight, as we move on into Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at these verses I've read to you and consider the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm sure that this is one of these parables that you and I have known from we were little children. Because very often people, when they speak about the ministry of Jesus Christ and we seek to learn lessons from these stories that he spoke in order to explain some spiritual truth, this is one of those parables I'm sure we've heard many, many times and considered from many different angles. Well, tonight I want you to note with me, if time permits, three things. And we're going to begin by looking at the context of the story. Because the parable of the Good Samaritan was told by Jesus in response to a man who had come to him with a very important question. Look at what we read in verse 25. It simply puts it like this. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now let's understand immediately that this man is not all that he seemed to be. It might appear at the first reading of this passage, this man was genuine in his approach to the Lord Jesus, that he was searching for an answer to a very important question. But this man is not a searching man, he's a subtle man. He's seeking to put the Lord Jesus Christ to the test in the midst of the people. He comes with this question, for he wants to embarrass the Lord Jesus in front of the crowd who had gathered and were listening to everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. I mean, after all, this man was an expert in the law. He already knew the answer to his own question. He was an expert in these matters. He was well versed in the Pentateuch, which of course is the first five books of the Bible. So in fact, he would have known the answer for himself. He really didn't have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ this question in the first place. But he asked it in order to catch the Lord Jesus Christ out. However, Jesus knows what's in the heart of every man. He knows what's in your heart tonight. He knows what's in mine. And he knew what was in the heart of this man, and he knew the reason for the question, and he knew everything that was going through this man's mind. But he turns the conversation around, as he so often did, and for the benefit of this man and his great spiritual need, Jesus Christ begins to enter into conversation with him. But you know, Jesus was showing this man that he wasn't teaching anything new. He had asked a question, Jesus answered it. He wasn't teaching anything new because this man already knew that the answer to his question was clearly taught in the law of Moses. And Jesus exposed this man. He gave him a picture of himself and his own shortcomings and showed that even though he was an expert in the law, he had never learned to apply it to his own heart. But you know, the question that he asks is a very important question, and I want to pause for a moment as you and I consider it together. For he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says to him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's a great question, isn't it? And like all the other great questions of the Bible that we come across from time to time in various places, it's a question that needs to be answered. Because any question that deals with this great matter of eternity is something that we need to understand. And he comes to Jesus and he says to him, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life. Now maybe he didn't understand all the implications of this. Maybe he had a clear understanding of what eternal life really was. Maybe he didn't know the wealth of truth that was contained in that statement. But you see, this eternal life is a wonderful thing. William Hendrickson, the commentator, puts it like this. Eternal life refers to a life that is not only endless in its duration, but a life that is priceless in its quality. Eternal life is the life that we have when we come in repentance and in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as our Savior. So if you're saved tonight, you have eternal life. And that life knows no limits. That's a life that has no ending. That's a life that thrills the heart, or should thrill the heart, of every child of God. But if you're not saved tonight, this is life that could be your portion even before you leave this particular meeting. Because you see, this eternal life, though it might seem to you it sounds like something of another age, this eternal life is something that gives you tonight hope. Not just hope in time, but it gives you hope for the whole of eternity. Why do I say that? Well, you see, this life that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about, though it may sound to us to speak of something that is yet eternal, it is something that you and I can enjoy right here, right now. It's a real life that is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And unfortunately, there are many people tonight who honestly believe that they have life, but they're simply existing. They're moving from one pleasure to another in order to find satisfaction. They're involved in so many things in order to get joy for their souls, but they cannot find it, and they never will find it. Because anything that we have outside of Jesus Christ, there is no lasting satisfaction with it. But this life that Jesus Christ is talking about, it is real life. Real life. It's spiritual life. It's life that meets the deepest longing in our souls. Whoever we are tonight, I'm absolutely convinced of this. That there is a longing within these souls of ours that is crying out for something different, for something better than what we have. So many people today totally dissatisfied with life. Many who just feel that there's nothing worth living for. There's nothing worth getting up for in the morning. There's a longing in their soul and it just doesn't seem to be satisfied. But listen, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, this life that Jesus Christ speaks about, it's not just real life, it is spiritual life. It meets the deepest longing of the sin-sick soul. And furthermore, it's eternal life. It's something that we have that we can enjoy right now, right now. But it's something that will last forever. And I say again that yours could be yours just now. But as Hendrickson says, you'll have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith. And you say to me, but why the Lord Jesus Christ? Surely I can find my joy and satisfaction in other things and in other places. No. You can try. And though those things may last for a season and satisfy for a short time, there is none that satisfies but the Lord Jesus. Completely, that is. When he came to minister amongst us, remember that he himself said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it in all its abundance. And I can assure you tonight that this is life that thrills the soul. This is a life that sees us through the storms of life. This is the life that will carry us out through death, the very last enemy that we have to face. And this is the life that will take us out into eternity to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And I'm asking you tonight, is that the kind of life that you enjoy? You may feel that you've lived life already to the full. But I wonder if your time here was to run out any day soon, would you have lived your life like a fool, with no thought of God, with no faith in Christ, with no hope for eternity? What a wasted existence. That you should go the whole way through life with the life that God has given to you, and that your life has had no eternal value. And you end up slipping out into a lost eternity when you could have had eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. Is that the kind of life you're living? Is that the kind of life that you're enjoying? If you don't have it, you can the moment you come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The context of the story. Here's the second thing, the content of the story. You know, as the conversation unfolds between Jesus and this expert in the law, they begin then to talk about loving one's neighbor. Then the man asks Jesus another important question. It's simply this: who is my neighbor? Again, he knew the answer to that particular question. But the reason for asking the second question is that he wanted to justify himself in the sight of Christ. So in order to explain it and in order to open up this man's mind, Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. We could look at this all evening. But I think there are a few lessons here that we do well to learn, all of us, and especially sometimes those of us who are the Lord's people. Why? Well, first of all, it's a story of great neglect. When you look at this parable, it's based around a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you're aware of the Mediterranean countryside in Jesus' day, you'll know that this man would have traveled about 17 miles down a very steep decline. It wasn't only steep, it was very dangerous. And it was a very rugged mountainous area, and because of the nature of the territory, robbers could easily attack, and then having attacked someone, they would make their getaway right to the very many hiding places that there were in this area. And that's what happened to this particular man as Jesus relates the story. He'd been beaten by robbers, all that he had was stolen, and this man is left in a terrible state. In fact, as you read the story, you'll see that he's rendered helpless. And he's left by the side of the road. And then comes help. Well, at least you would have thought that help was coming. Because there are now certain individuals who come and they see this man. But I say again that this is a story of great neglect. Why? A priest comes down the same road. The priest sees him lying by the side of the road with all his great need. And what happened? The priest passed him by. And then a Levite comes down the road. He also sees the man. But he passes him by on the other side of the road too. Now the interesting thing about both these men is this. That here are two men who knew what God's word taught them. They knew that they should have shown this man mercy and they didn't. They knew that they should have gone and helped this man with all his great need, and they didn't. Because both of them in turn avoided their duty, and they neglected this man. I wonder sometimes, is this really the attitude of many of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ? Because all around us today, in our society, there are those who need mercy. There are those who need Christian love. There are those who need to be shown compassion. And sadly, they are being greatly neglected. Because we, like the Levite and the priest, just walk on by. Unconcerned, able to help, but neglecting our duty. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I'll tell you what I mean. There are people all around us today wounded and sore with all the battles that they face daily. There are so many people in a helpless state and hopelessly they continue to live their lives that have been wrecked and ruined by sin. They've been given up by society, many of them. And some of them have even been given up by their own families who just can't take any more. And some that we meet, like the prodigal, they have wasted their lives in riotous living. And you say, but Pastor, where are they? They're on their doorsteps. Some of them are living in the same estate as us. Some of them are going to the same school as us. Some of them are sitting at the same university as us. And yet we pass them by, neglecting our duty. As if we didn't have a care about their eternal souls. Beloved, if anybody should care for the sin-ravaged people of our society, surely it should be us. After all, we once sat where they're sitting. And but for the grace of God in our lives, some of us would still be sitting there. Helpless, hopeless, whereas some of our folks often pray out in the mountains, wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care. But Jesus cared enough for us to bring us to himself. Do we care enough about them to bring them to Jesus? What a challenge. You say, but Pastor, hold on a moment. These people are the very dregs of society you're talking about. Yes, they still need a Savior. But these people are so far away from God, they're the very people Christ came to seek and to save. And it's not our responsibility to save them, but it's our responsibility to go to them and to tell them of Jesus, who is mighty and well able to save them. Now, but Pastor, if we do that, think of all the baggage they'll bring possibly into our church. And if you don't, think of all the baggage they'll take with them out into a Christless eternity. Because that's the choice that is facing the Church of Jesus Christ today. This is a story of great neglect. This Levite and priest left this poor soul just where he was. But secondly, this is a story of great compassion. For here we read of a man who was known as the enemy of this man, and he was willing to help. And remember, he's a Samaritan. We know that the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other and vice versa, but he comes to him with all his great need. What a lovely story this is. He takes pity on him. He seeks to put bandages on his bruised body. He lifts up this man, puts him in his own donkey, takes him to an inn, gives the innkeeper some money, the equivalent of 2 days' wages. He says, if you need any more, I'll pay for this when I return. What love, what compassion this man showed for someone who was his enemy. But then isn't that what Jesus Christ has done for us? We who were the enemies of God, we who were alienated from him because of our sin, we who had no thought of God in our souls and bound for the caverns of the damned. And the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory right to where we were. Left heaven with all its splendor. He left fellowship with the Father in the glory to come. To live amongst men in this sinful world and one day to go to the cross at Calvary and there to pay our debt in full. For there on the cross at Calvary, he shed his own precious blood, poured out his own soul unto death, gave himself in our guilty room instead. And as far as our sin was concerned, he paid our debt in full. In full. Thank God tonight because of that once for all sacrifice for sin. Those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ can know their sins forgiven. They can know pardon through his precious blood. And they can enjoy peace through the blood of Christ's cross. What compassion. What love. What mercy. Tell me tonight, if you're not a Christian, have you ever thought about that? And not only thought about it, but acted upon it. And you say, Pastor, I've often thought about it. Yes, honestly, I have thought about it before, but I've never acted upon it because. And off you go listing all the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't be interested in you. Well, I don't care who you are. And I don't care where you've come from tonight. And I don't care how deep down in sin you might be. And I don't care if society has thrown you out or that your family don't care. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus cares. And that he loves you. And that he loved you so much that he willingly went to the cross to take your place and to die your death. And to make it possible for you to have your sins forgiven. And to enjoy peace and pardon at the hand of God. You say, Pastor, me? Yes, you. Whoever you are. Jesus will come right to where you are. For you see, there's no doubt that his eye pities you. And his heart goes out to you. His lovely hands that bear all the marks of Calvary are outstretched to you. And he says, come unto me. Come unto me. If you bring your sin, your shame, and lay them down at the foot of that old rugged cross, and you'll leave this place tonight rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven. The context of the story the content of the story, the climax of the story, and with that I'll finish in just a few sentences, because Jesus ties it all up. He brings the conversation to an end. And of course he asks this expert in the law who was his real neighbor. The man replied, the man who took pity on the wounded man. What was Jesus trying to say to this man? Well, the point Jesus is making is this. It's not really who is our neighbor, but what kind of a neighbor are we? Would we go out and do what the Samaritan did? That's the real message of the parable. That's the challenge for those of us who love Christ. And whether or not we love others for Christ's sake. The more I've gone around this neighborhood, the more people I've met who have entered this building from all arts and parts of this neighborhood, the more I'm moved every time I hear people pray for missionaries and they pray for the mission field. Oh yes, there is a great mission field outside. Would to God that he would raise up laborers and thrust them out into that great harvest field of the world. Maybe some of us haven't grasped just yet. There's a mission field right here. We'll meet those this week who are battered and bruised by the fall. Many whose lives are ruined and marred by sin. We'll find them in a helpless and hopeless state. God forbid we should pass them by on the other side. Let's be prepared to get alongside them. Show them pity, compassion, the love of Christ. Use our resources and blessings to make a blessing to them. And above everything else, tell them of Jesus, who's mighty and well able to save. Who is my neighbor? If we're deeply interested, the Lord will show us. Let's pray. Father, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ often used parables to explain spiritual truths. And Father, as we consider this parable tonight, we realize, our Father, that we have such a responsibility to those all around us whose lives are wrecked and ruined by sin. Help us not to pass by on the other side, but to tell them of Jesus, for he's the only hope they have. And for those who are here tonight, perhaps who don't know Christ, weighed down in their lives, wrecked and ruined by sin, would you remind them of a Savior who is full of compassion, whose great heart of love goes out to them just now with all their great need, and whose invitation is still extended, come, come unto me. Father, will you bless your word to our hearts? And will you make these lives of ours a blessing to those we come in contact with? For Christ's sake.